On this week's episode of That Sound Podcast, we have another local Irish act called Vendetta Love.
Yeah, great crack with the boys. We had it all. We had magic tricks, we had ghost stories, and we had good old rock music chat. I think you'll enjoy this one. Strap yourself in.
Enjoy.
So on this week's episode of That Sound Podcast, we have Vendetta Love. We have the whole band here with us tonight. Well, boys, what's the story?
What's the story, man? How are you?
How are we going?
Everyone's good.
Good to see you all here. Glad you could all tune in.
Your new single is making great tracks online, I see. It's going well. I enjoy it myself. Very good song, boys.
Cheers, man.
Thanks very much, man. Yeah. Yeah, seems to be doing bops.
Yeah. Very Velvet Revolver like.
That was the the complete intention.
Yeah. Unintentionally so.
Unintentionally. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's just like.
No, man, it's a great tune. Great tune. I was actually listening to a lot of your stuff today. Black in Hand, man. That's a great fucking tune.
Fucking hate that song.
Neil's famous song.
Oh man, every time we're doing a set for a gig, Neil's like, can we just not fucking play this song right now, please? It's like, man, we only play it for you, buddy.
Man, the bass lick on it is brilliant.
Oh yeah, no, I brought the fucking lick to the band, and I regret it every day since.
Yeah. Well, it's a fucking great tune, man. And even the lyrics. Is it Sean? Are you behind the lyrics?
It is, yeah. Is he there or is he dead?
Sean passed away.
He's just frozen. Yeah, Sean does all the singing on the lyrics. Like, oh, there he's back again. Sean.
Yeah, what the fuck happened there?
Just froze.
We were
talking about the writing process, Black in Hands. You were behind that, were you?
Myself and Neil and Darren originally primarily, but yeah, lyrically, yeah, I got.
He's gone. He's just gone again.
He's on the dodgy
button. Yeah, he does all the lyrics anyway, yeah.
good stuff.
Right, I wasn't in the band when I was first on, though.
Sean's going to come back on here. All we're going to hear is, turn off the Wi-Fi! Get off the Wi-Fi!
We'll go back to the start, boys. How did you get together?
Yeah. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. For now. Oh,
cool. Yeah, I just went out. Yeah.
We're going to go back to the start. How did it all happen, or how did you get together?
I suppose, Jesus, myself and Darren, we'd known each other for quite a while, and we got together in about, what was it, man, about 2014. It was thereabouts, wasn't it, yeah. And we just started making bits and pieces of noise together, and we had this other guy playing bass with us for a while, and it wasn't working. And then we met Neil in 2015, man, was it?
Yeah, I think it was around then, 2015, 2016, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so then we start doing a couple of gigs under like the Vendetta Love name and stuff, and things went quiet for a while. We're like, we need a second guitar, and then like we played with Chris with Guns N' Roses tribute act actually for like two gigs, and we were like, okay, cool, come join the band. And so I suppose we're together from like 2014, but really maybe 2016-ish onwards.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're all originally from Leash, is that right?
Every one of us, man, yeah.
I'm from Dublin and I moved to Leash.
Well, you're an...
Who are you hiding from?
You're a Leash man. You're a Leash man now.
I've denied that. Leash man. Now, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I lived in Dublin until I was like 13 and then I moved to Leash, like, so...
Yeah. So what, I know myself, I just kind of answered it, but like your influences growing up, what kind of music were you listening to?
I loved like Guns N' Roses, Skid Row, Alice in Chains, all the late 80s, early 90s stuff, you know, obviously the classics like Zeppelin, Sabbath. And then when I was growing up, I fell in love with this band called Him. and type like bands like Type O Negative and stuff. And yeah, then it broadened out for me anyway into like acoustic stuff like Mick Flannery. I love a lot of Damien Rice's stuff. So it's a bit of everything, but that's just me.
Yeah, yeah.
Serious mix there, Sean.
Yeah, look, a song for every mood, fella.
Honestly, yeah. No, a great amount of influences to choose from.
What about Chris?
Yeah, it was Nirvana and Green Day were like the first like two things that I kind of like. The how I got a guitar was when I started playing electric guitar was me dad. He got me an acoustic guitar for Christmas, and American Idiot had just come out, and he was just like, "Oh, if you learn that album like start to finish, we'll buy you an electric." So me being a little bastard, like I like sat down and learned it like really quickly, like start to finish. And then he was just like, "Oh, fuck, I'm gonna have to buy you a guitar." I think it was like by the end of January, I got through the whole thing. Like, you know, I was like, yeah. "Fuck's sake, I wasn't expecting you to do it that fast." I think he thought it was just like, "Oh, this is gonna take years to do." Like, but like once you know four chords, you have like the entirety of Green Day's back catalog.
Yeah, yeah. Especially Green Day, yeah.
Did you end up smashing the acoustic then, like the American Idiot video? Or
no, I still have it. Yeah, it's in the corner there somewhere.
It is. Darren, what about yourself?
Similar to Sean, Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver, Skid Row, all that good stuff. Alice in Chains, yeah. Pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Very good.
From him,
Neil. What about yourself, Neil?
Neil likes every band that ever existed.
I know, but like it started off with like Neil Young and Bob Dylan and Ray LaMontagne when I was a young fella, and then kind of moving on to Nirvana and then Modest Mouse and Elliott Smith and just everything since then, mix of stuff. But yeah, like raised on like Led Zeppelin as well and all the old fucking classic bands, but
yeah,
a bit of everything.
You can definitely hear that grunge stuff in your music, like definitely Alice in Chains and Nirvana was the first thing that popped in my mind listening to your stuff, like definitely Ian Stanley, like, you know, definitely in your music. Do you remember the first song you learned together?
Fuck. Probably not.
Full of cider.
The first song we learned, all of us together, the four of us.
Yeah.
Shit.
I was in your house for like the entire month of June in 2018.
I remember that. Yeah.
We knew, like, yeah.
Yeah, it was probably it was probably something like fucking Follow Me Down, was it?
It was one of them ones.
Yeah, it's off our first EP, Follow Me Down. I think it's the opening track. That's probably the first song we ever played together.
Yeah, your first EP was 2021, right?
Yeah.
And that was, And that's the famous song, Black in Hands, yeah?
That's where she says it's fun.
Well, I tell you, I'm a fan, man. I really enjoy it. I think it's a fucking great tune, boys.
Thank you very much, man.
To be honest, I know it's probably a pain in the ass playing it over and over and over, but it's a great fucking tune, I have to say.
No, man, to be... the opposite of what Neil was saying, I love playing that song every fucking night. It's so much fun because it's always a small bit different.
Yeah,
it's just there's a lot of freedom to whinge on a mic over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think it's a great tune.
I've started over the last few months. I started playing it differently as well to make it more interesting for myself because it's fairly boring playing that same riff over and over.
How do you think I feel now?
Oh yeah, sure. Chris is barely on the song.
Four chords.
I was actually watching a video of Rocketon from last year, and you were just like walking and like kicking stones on the stage.
Just in circles, like.
Yeah. Like, what are we going to do now?
I'd go over and just make faces at Darren when we're playing that, like, you know, just
yeah, island wave, boys.
Yeah. What was the crack at Rocketon anyway? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was
really good crack. It was weird playing an all tribute festival, like, but it was a lot of fun to do at the same time. Like, the setup there was fucking really cool.
Yeah, we're gonna head up there ourselves this year. actually looking forward to it. I never went to it, and I know a couple of the guys playing up there this year. The Pearl Jam tribute band, Light Years. Yeah, they're very good. Very good. There's a couple of the Foo Fighters tribute band, In Your Honor, very good drummer in that band as well. Wouldn't be too far away from us here. We're up in Moniton here. They're not too far from us. So looking forward to that. Your second EP then was 2022, yeah? Called I Am?
Yeah.
What about your recording process? Where did you record it? Were you down in Cork, did I see?
No, that's all London and Track Mix out in Blanchardstown.
Oh, right.
Michael Richards' studio, yeah. Oh, a lot of it, both of them are done. Like, we've never recorded anywhere else other than Track Mix.
I thought I seen something that you were down in Cork recording one time and something. Obviously, I was wrong. Then, like, your gigs, you got the supporting act with Airborne. What was that like?
That was fun. Yeah, that was a ball, man. Fucking, I don't know. We got it through Chris.
It was Oren from Overdrive.
Yeah,
was after that. He was just like, because he was looking out. He looks after us a lot with the PR stuff and then with management stuff there a couple of years ago. And the call came in. They were looking, and he was just like, "There's no other band but Vendetta Love that should be doing that." And MCD were like, "Yeah, cool, buy out, stick them on the list, kind of thing." Like,
barely.
Just yeah, checking out. We're like, "Yeah, both dates. There we go." And we were just like, "Jesus."
Like, do you have any more of those going by any chance?
I
sent in a text to the group chat like just the morning we got it. It was just like, "Ah, lads, guess who's supporting this morning Airborne?" But like, "Ah, fuck's sake, who?" Like, no, it was just like, "Puss." They're like, "No fucking way."
Like, I fucking knew it when you sent in that text. I was like, I know what's gonna happen here.
I didn't take us to the gig. I need to sell it.
No way. Man, that must have been a fucking hell of a buzz, though. Jesus Christ. Even up on that stage, like...
Oh, it was unreal, man. Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. Full house. In
the Academy. What? No, where was it?
It was in the Academy in Dublin and Limelight. Yeah, and Limelight in Belfast. And I believe both shows are full sellouts. The crowds and both of them were fucking unreal. Like,
man,
just some buzz.
Yeah, like, that's...
Like savage venues.
Put in the hard work for, like, to get things like that. Like, you know what I mean? It must have just been a real fucking nice moment, especially as a band together, just being up there and just going, "Wow, this is happening, boys."
Yeah.
But there was a whole, like, in the build-up to it, it was just like, "Hey, don't fuck it up. Don't fuck it up. Don't fuck this up." So that was a pain in us. I was like, yeah. So, like, "Hey, yeah, take a chance. Don't fuck it up. Let's see what happens." But, yeah, savage buzz, man.
Is what happened. Like,
double of every piece of equipment in case something fucking died on stage or something.
Yeah, did you just get to meet the boys from Airborne?
No.
Just to grace the stage was enough, I suppose.
We got stuck behind the bass player going to the stage. Wasn't that your man? Yeah, because we had to, like, cut through their, like, green room area to get onto the stage. So, like, there's us in a straight line going around, and your man was in front of us. Like, we didn't see them at all day, like, at all. And then it was like, "Oh, there's the boys there."
So we were hanging out just down by the side stage area, and I was like, "All right, cool. We'll head out for a smoke now, or go get a drink now, waiting till the boys come on. Now we just get the band are coming through now. You guys get the fuck out. You gotta move. It's like, okay, cool. No worries."
Yeah. We were talking then off air about your new single, "Sued." It's going down a treat.
Yeah, no man, it's flying. We got onto, did you ever see the Spotify editorial playlist? No. So like their playlist put together by Spotify, you have to pitch the song to them in advance, and like, that's helping push it seriously. And then it's a
big deal once you get on to one of those.
Yeah, and then we've Jay from Reaction Management, that's our current manager. He's looking after a lot of the PR stuff. And then we've Oren from Overdrive pushing PR as well. So like, just to kick it out to like every radio station across Europe that can get their hands on to, like, you know.
Daily.
It's like, and it's been added to a lot of rotations, so that's what's helping people like get it into their ears and put it in front of them, like, you know. So.
Yeah, it's definitely a great tune. If you're listening, check out the boys' page. They have some great material on there. You have a lot of gigs coming up there. Did I see that you guys are heading to London too?
Yeah, in August 10th.
Nice.
I can't even remember the name of the venue because it was kind of...
Fighting Cocks. That's it. Yeah.
Fighting Cocks. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, we're Ritual Effect.
Stuff, it's legal.
And then
if Whelan's too, right?
Whelan's as well, yeah. And then we will be in England in June. Should be four gigs at the end of June.
Nice.
We've two confirmed, and then we're just still waiting on confirmation for the other two.
So you've done a couple of gigs up our way too. Did you do Tolls in Dundalk before as well?
Yeah, yeah.
We did.
That was last July, dead right.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands have played there. I've seen recently Words That Born have played there as well, and they're starting to get a couple of, you know.
They're a savage band there, Words That Born.
Yeah, man, we had Jason on a couple of weeks ago, man. Yeah, he's a great drummer. He's a great drummer. Luke's a drummer as well, and two boys had fun here.
We had a bit of crack talking gear and talking tech and stuff that nobody wants to hear about.
It's great to see that these venues are pushing bands like yourselves, like them, you know. Like, there is a lot of talent in this country that, I don't know if you feel, obviously you feel, but we definitely feel that, like, don't get the respect that they should get, you know. Like, there is a serious talent.
Oh yeah, it's a weird one with Ireland, isn't it, though? It's like there's so many fucking talented bands of all genres, and it's just like, the fuck is going on?
I don't know. Where are the gigs at? Where are the promotions?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know.
Yeah. You played the Siege of Limerick last week too, did you?
Yeah, that was Sunday night.
That was Sunday night. How did that go?
Class, yeah, it was unreal.
And what was the crowds like at? Was it busy like? Yeah, obviously with the Easter weekend.
Yeah, it was busy, man. It was, as soon as you walk in the fucking door, you're sweating. Like, it was class. Yeah. It was deadly. We were playing on the upstage stairs there, on the stage, and it was fairly full for our set anyway, wasn't it?
It's a good promotion as well. Like, it's well advertised. And am I right in saying it's free into that?
It is free, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Like, you know, like, there's not too many. You know, there's always usually a cover charge of some sort. So it's great exposure, and it's great on your end, and it's great as a, you know, going to watch the gigs. Like, you know what I mean? It's well run. And same with Cork, isn't it? What's that venue down in Cork? Zeppelin.
Cyprus.
Fred's.
They seem to be pushing the Irish stuff. Like, they're obviously, you know, but like, as in promotion wise, it's reaching us up here this far north, you know, monitoring that, like the likes of yourselves and Words That Born, and like, there's so many other acts like that are getting the exposure now. Like, the promotion end of it seems to be going a lot better in the last couple of years. Maybe it's just social media and stuff. I don't know. What do you think?
A lot of the shows, so any of the shows we've booked in the last while, we've skipped like the idea of a promoter and just booked the venue ourselves, and then just advertised the shit out of it. Like, we pay the venue costs ourselves rather than being like going to a promoter and be like, hey, we want a fee of like 400 quid. Kind of, because it's a financial risk for them on their end, because they don't know if they're going to get it back or not, like, you know. And that's why a lot of them are kind of like, they'd be reluctant to take a chance, because they don't know they're going to lose money. They don't know, like, you know.
Yeah.
So like, that's the last couple of gigs. Like, so yeah, when we done Dundalk, we booked Tolls ourselves, and we played the Soundhouse there at the start of March, booked their own headline show, and then just took the tickets up and we're like, yeah, go for it and see if we can get, even though just to cover the venue costs and whatever on top, like, huh?
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Spirit Store in Dundalk?
No, not yet.
It's a good venue.
That'd be a good venue for you to check out, yeah.
It's how many people would you say fit in there?
Oh, roughly, I'm not even sure. What would you get? 300 or 400,
I'd say. Yeah. It's a nice venue. It's great sound in it as well. It's kind of low enough ceilings. Like, it's a nice venue.
The stage is class as well. It'd really suit you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Yeah. No, I know. It's just we've never played in there. Like, I'm not. I wonder how much it costs to take it out for the night. Like, you know, you're like,
it's worth, it's worth doing a bit of investigating because it is a, it's a great venue.
And yeah, they get some. The promoter, he's pretty easy to work with.
Yeah. So we'll have a bit of fun with a few questions, boys, if you don't mind, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, go on.
So the first and last ticket you bought for a concert, do you remember your first and the last one that you bought?
Sean's was doing last.
Did you get that, man?
The first and last ticket. The first ticket I ever bought was Velvet Revolver in The Point in 2005. The last ticket I ever bought was the last. What's the last gig I'm going to so far this year? Is it
Slash?
Wednesday 13. I know. That was the last gig. It was the last gig I'm going to so far this year. It'd be Wednesday 13 in Opium at the end of October, I believe.
Nice.
Brilliant.
Anyone else?
Do you remember that band Aiden? William.
Yeah, actually.
They were like that was like 2008. That was the first gig. I think it was like £15 for the ticket in the Academy, and it was one of those like daytime shows.
Right.
So like everybody was out by 5 o'clock, like. And then it's the last ticket I bought. John Chelsea Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's playing. I think that's in Opium as well. Actually, that's at the end of it. That's the last ticket I bought.
That's Button Factory, man, isn't it?
It's a Button Factory or Opium.
Button Factory, man.
Because I bought that the Wednesday 13 ticket like within 2 days.
It's like 2 days later. Yeah.
Darren, what about yourself?
Slash is the last one, idiot, and sure, God knows what the first one was. I can't remember.
Idea.
Couldn't tell you at all, but
your first gig was Green Day.
That was the first one, eh? But that pretty much,
fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know what the first one was, but yeah, Slash is the last one, idiot.
Lovely. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think the first thing I bought for myself was probably Dinosaur Jr. in, I think it was Vicker Street years ago. And I'd say the last one, I'd say it's probably Mick Flannery in, it could have been Vicker Street as well, actually. I don't really go to many shows, but I'd like to go on to more. Mostly just find out I love him seeing.
Do any of you remember the first album that you bought?
The first one I saved up properly was because I got given like American Idiot, like a couple of Green Day albums and stuff, but like I saved up like pocket money for All Hope Is Gone and Death Magnetic.
Oh, nice.
They were like the first two I bought myself. Like,
Yeah. What do you think of that magnetic?
I haven't listened to it in... I loved it when it came out.
Yeah.
Because, when I started listening to Metallica, it was like St. Anger was the new album.
Yeah.
And I went down to the library and, rented it out of the library. And I was like, oh, this is Metallica's new album. I must, give it a listen, and I put it on. I was like, this is shite. I was like, this one, I don't know. This was, before YouTube was around or whatever,
Yeah.
And then Death Magnetic came out, and I'd already been listening to them solid for about 2 years at that stage. I was like, this is cool. People. The Day That Never Comes is, deadly, right?
Great tune.
Cyanide is on
as well,
isn't it? Yeah.
Cyanide's on, really.
Yeah. It's even better. Cyanide is way better live than on the record.
Yeah, I seen them touring that album in an indoor gig in America. It was fucking amazing. It really was. It was really cool.
It's all Nightmare Long's definitely an underrated track from that album.
Yeah, I like that one, the Unforgiven 3.
Unforgiven 3, with the piano intro.
Yeah. I think it gets a fucking bad rep. I think people like to just shit on Metallica after.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's just
I feel since 1995-ish, they've liked to take a dump on Metallica pretty heavy, all right?
Yeah.
When they put out their first album.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Load is quality, man.
I'll die on my hill. It's their best Load black album.
I'll be standing there with you holding the flag, man.
Yeah, I like that. The Outlaw.
Outlaw Torn.
The Outlaw Torn is a fucking great tune.
Yeah. Savage song, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's what I mean. People just shit on these albums because, oh, I heard someone else saying it, so I'm going to be cool like him and say it's shit. Like, you know.
So stupid.
Yeah. Sean, do you remember yours?
The first album I ever bought out of my own money. I believe it was out of my communion money, and it was either Guns N' Roses Greatest Hits or Appetite for Destruction. It was one or the other.
Oh yeah,
that's a good start.
Because I remember not too long ago afterwards, it was Nevermind, because I'd heard Nirvana on Kerrang, and I was like, oh shit, these are good too. And it wasn't too late longer, I was reading like some classic rock. Apparently, you weren't allowed to like these two bands at the same time or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Metallica and Megadeth.
Yeah, and I was there kind of going, oh shit. I was like, oh, I kind of love both of these bands. I can't tell my friends this. What do I do?
What's your take on Soundgarden?
Ah, class.
Yeah, man, Cornell is a fucking legend.
Fucking Jesus fucking Christ, man. Like, untouchable.
I talk Cornell all day, man. I think he's one of the best singers this world has ever seen.
Oh, man, isn't he?
Like, the raspiness of it. Actually, you have the kind of raspiness yourself, in fairness to you. But I love that rasp.
Yeah, but that I don't got that fucking range, man. Jesus Christ.
No. But, I mean, it's in your style as well, in fairness, that grungy rasp. Like, you can hear it, you know. But, yeah, Cornell.
Thanks, man.
Cornell was... I seen him, too, in an acoustic set before. There was only 200 or 300 people out, man. It was just him and an acoustic guitar. It was fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah, he could do anything. He could probably stand there with like a fucking banjo on a triangle on his foot, and the room would be silent.
Like,
you know,
were talking before, like the different styles, like before it all ended for him. Like the style that was going down was like that dancey stuff, and the, you know, Timbaland recorded his last album. Like, it was completely different. You know, but I suppose that's the range of an artist.
That's it. Like, the only time I ever actually got to see him live was when he opened for Aerosmith in Marley Park in 2007.
Okay.
And he fucking blew them off stage, man.
Did he?
Blew them off stage. Oh, man. Aerosmith were boring as fuck anyway, but Chris Cornell opening. It was when, do you know that song he did for the Bond theme? Do you know, you know my name?
Yes.
That it just came out, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, what's this? And now I seen it live. Like, oh, my fucking God, this guy is... He's quite good.
He is quite good. I remember seeing Audio Slave in the Pint in, oh God, I don't know what year it was. They were fucking brilliant too, Audio Slave.
Oh. I'd love to have seen them.
Yeah, indoor gig.
I'd love to have seen them as well. Yeah.
Listen out of me, I was like, whoa. What
fuck
yeah. Savage, man. Yeah. Sick. Remember they played Oxygen Festival as well, and I think Cornell was pissed out of his brains. No, that was the guy from The Strokes. He was pissed on the stage, man. He couldn't walk. But anyway, going off topic here. Darren, what about yourself?
Again, don't remember which was the first one I bought, but first one I owned. It was a birthday present that I'm going to walk, man. It was a Hybrid Theory.
I said, do you remember your name?
Hybrid Theory was the first one anyway. But God, is a birthday present to my Walkman. That was,
what was that, Darren? Sorry, you didn't catch it.
The Hybrid Theory. But again, I didn't buy it, so I don't know. It doesn't really answer your question, but anyway.
that's a great album too, man. That was, like, I don't think there's skip on that album.
Fucking oh, that was quality.
Yeah, it was quality, man.
Damn, me Walkman was listening to that for hours.
When the boys at school come into on a Monday morning with the fucking luminous pink spiky hair, I was like, yeah. great album.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Neil, what about yourself?
I think the first one I bought was Billy Talent 2, their second album. And I remember I used to, whenever like the mother and father and my brother be gone off to like a soccer match, I'd be at home with the album turned up fully, screaming along, or trying my best to scream along to the shouty bit. But yeah, they're fucking they're a wonderful band. They only re-entered my head there about a week ago, and I was watching their live shows, and they're amazing. kind of weird band too, but some great tracks.
Talking about soccer there, do any of you have any other pastimes apart from music? Are you into any other kind of stuff, hobbies or?
I'm a magician.
You're a magician?
True story.
Swear to God.
Right, you have to show us a trick.
Fuck you, man. He's going to do it all. I love it.
Yeah, oh, fucking damn right. Man.
He'll just turn off his video.
All right, hang on.
Give me one second.
Right. Here we go. Deck of cards, lads. Sorry. Gotta get them a good... good mix.
It's marked. I can see the deck's marked.
I was doing that during COVID. I ended up doing Zoom magic shows.
No way.
No way, man.
So, yeah. Right, hang on. So, name a number out loud.
Eight.
Eight. So I'm going to just count down eight cards for a second, right? One, two, three, four, 5, 6, 7. Right, and then I'm going to show you this card.
No.
I'm not going to look, I'm going to turn away. But just like, keep it in your head, the lies you can see, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, this is like pure on the fly. I haven't done shit in ages. So I was going to turn around and go this way. Right, can you see that?
Hold
it a bit still.
Yeah,
I think I...
Have
you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, kind of throw the back face down and just kind of throw back at the deck. This is like so hard to do. Like, I need to be better off standing fucking up. Right. Gonna
put your hat on.
Give him another good mix. Right. So, name a number. 1. There's 52 cards in the deck. Name a number 1 to 52.
Oh. 47.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So, something a bit lower than 47 because we're going to be here all night.
13.
13. Okay. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Well done, man. That was fucking big crack. Well done, man.
So we've got a magic lesson and a counting lesson all on the one podcast tonight. Oh, good, man.
How did you get into that?
I used to do magic when I was a kid, and then I stopped doing it for fucking years, and then I was in America, and I ended up in a magic shop.
Right.
And then, your man behind the counter was doing tricks, like, and I just ended up doing it again. I was just like, honestly, I bought a couple of tricks. This was, like, 2017.
Mm.
And I just bought a couple of tricks out of the shop and just picked it back up again, like.
It's a nice way to make a few bob. Like, you see, like, you know, weddings and stuff like that. Jesus, you can rack up a nice handy few bob, like.
Yeah, just, you know, I wouldn't do weddings. I done my own show there. Jesus, when was that? That was last September. I done a magic show in Dublin, like, just for the crack.
You like. Did, yeah.
That's mad, dude. That's funny. That was good.
That's when you went about putting your hand through a fucking spike, wasn't it?
Yeah. What? Yeah. It turns into like a freak show kind of thing, so like I can like bang nails up my nose and fucking hooks in my mouth and shit as well, like, so
Jesus Christ.
Child friendly, like, you know?
Yeah.
All that's the PG stuff.
Yeah. that definitely blew me up. Like, I didn't see that coming.
That was cool.
Sean, what about yourself?
Oh, fuck, man. Well, I'm not a magician. That's a fact.
You had to beat that.
Yeah. Everything else is just a moot point, isn't it? No, fucking, I don't know. Any other?
Did I see recently that you done an interview that, and maybe you were taking the piss, paranormal shit?
Oh, no, that's not taking the piss, but no. Yeah, no, I'm well entrenched in the studies of the UAP phenomenon, man.
Right.
if you want to put it like that, and any and all paranormal stuff, but I've got to be careful what I say here.
Right.
Okay. Or else the CIA will get me.
I'll be under your bed tonight.
Yeah.
And it's
Joe Rogan's going to be calling after this. Just so you know.
Yeah, well, I'd rather Lex Friedman, but sure, whatever. Look.
Yeah. Oh, you'd always an interest in it.
Yeah, man. Ever since I was about 7 or 8, and me and a bunch of my mates seeing this really fucking weird thing in the sky when we were out kicking football drum one summer, and a lot of the dreams I've had since I was a small boy have been pretty fucking weird. Right. And I've had if any of you has ever, see, this is what I got to be careful. Any of you has ever tried to do a Ouija board or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, so like, you're not 100% my board.
I know this, man. Yeah. I used to live in this apartment when I was like 18, 19. And we tried a Ouija board session one night, and just shit went crazy for about a week. And ever since then, it's just been like, yeah, cool. But what is this? How else can I get into this? It's led me on to meditation. It's just kind of ways of like looking into these different things. I don't know. I'm fascinated by it. I understand absolutely nothing about it, but I'm always on the lookout, you know?
I had one weird experience in a castle. Did I ever tell you this? Cabra Castle. It's not too far away from us. It's on the Cavan Monaghan border.
It's not when you got married, is it?
Yeah, I was booking it for when I was getting married, and maybe it was the ghost, I don't know, telling me.
The Gowkey is grand, he used to
say. But I was up on the top floor, man, and there's like this windy staircase, and there was me, my wife, and like the wedding planner, and I think my mother was there. And so I let everybody to walk in front of me down the stairs, and what I felt, what I know sounds mental, I felt like this. So I thought I forgot someone to walk down. I turned around, I'm like, what the fuck? they were all walking down the stairs, and they looked back at me like, what the fuck's wrong with you? I'm like, I think something just fucking tapped me on the shoulder. But the wedding planner guy was like, no, don't worry about that. Don't, like, we know. Up there, they say it's haunted as shit, this hotel, like, so.
Well, I must have been seeing ghosts, because I was talking to myself the night of the OL. Yeah. The end of
it, so. It wasn't fucking you, anyway.
There's always the possibility of something else being there, though, you know?
Oh, yeah, man, like, I'd be sceptic, but yeah, it's something that I have read into and stuff like that, but there's a lot of people that have had experiences, and yeah, like yourself, that kind of stick with it and really get into it and believe in it and whatever, you know, like, we're going very deep here now.
It's actually
you could do, maybe a bit too deep.
Yeah, well, look, it's a bit of crack.
On a lighter note, but I'd actually heard a story about that last week of some guys locally that were telling a story that there's a man who had went out to start his work shift and get into whatever, the van and the lorry, to drive off, and he claimed that he had seen a headless horseman down the street. So the lads were laughing their heads off at this crack. And anyway, the story came about in the pub one night, and one of the lads' fathers was a few drinks in, and he was like, that man wouldn't tell a lie. I believe him. And the boys can't get over it. They're like, no way. Oh, no way. Not a hope. No. Not in the month of Sundays.
No way. No way.
Not in the month of Sundays.
other pastimes then. Darren.
Yes.
Yeah, any
other things?
Yeah.
Not that I partake in, no.
No. Music.
Big United, big Formula One head, but sure, again, I don't want to be driving the cars.
What about Max? Is he going to go to Mercedes?
Ah, doubt it.
Yeah.
Sure, see if your man fucking Adrian Newey goes to fucking Ferrari as well, huh? Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite boring last year. Like, just Max kicking the shit out of everyone. It was kind of crap last year, I thought.
Maybe that go to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. been there the last 2 years.
Oh yeah. Were you at the race where Max
or Hamilton?
No, not that one, unfortunately. No, we're at the next two. Like.
that was fucking mad, wasn't it?
Yeah. Fucking Foo Fighters were playing that last year as well, so it's good old crap.
Yeah. I heard there's a proper show at it. Like there's like DJ.
Oh yeah, it's four concerts, like, yeah.
Was it expensive, like, at it?
Oh, it was, yeah, Jesus, sure. In the venue itself, at the gig, like, sure, it was €15 for a pint.
You want to hear him nagging in the sock, boy?
No, I'll tell you. You're coming back carrying a tray of four beers, like, that's £60, and it's very nerve-wracking.
yeah, don't spill it. Neil, what about yourself?
I do a bit of skating, but I wouldn't be any good at it. I mostly just use it for transportation, getting around the countryside and all. Right. But,
hanging out
in the lamppost.
apart from that, not really. Drawing out a picture every now and again, sitting down amongst the trees or beside a river, you know. Do a bit of writing. I do a little bit, yeah. It's mostly for myself.
Yeah.
Apart from that, just writing. I write a lot of words. They don't really make much sense, but I write them in.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
That's about it.
Is there a lyric in a song that resonated with any of you that really kind of pulled the string or kind of you remember? No, everyone's have gone quiet.
Probably when you're talking to yourself and nobody's home, the start of Estranged.
Okay.
Guns N' Roses, for me, anyway. I resonate with that like a fucker.
Right.
Can't think about it, like, straight off the top of my head, don't I? Like,
I'm not, anyway. I can't remember.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
That's a political answer, yeah. That's a political answer. Right, we'll finish up with this one, boys. If you had the power to get your favourite musicians in a room to record an album, who would they be? Say a 4 or 5 piece band.
Fucking hell.
Lane Staley is the vocalist, anyway.
Ah, oh, nice.
That's a good front runner right there.
Yeah,
it's hard to beat that. Maybe
Cornette. Alive or dead?
He can go either for all. Yeah,
yeah.
All right, okay.
Well, he went Stanley.
Who's playing drums?
Darren, I should say.
Fuck no.
I'll go up there and play with them, yeah. Oh, fuck it up.
Who's your favourite drummer, Darren?
I don't have a specific one, but like fucking Matt Sorum. I love Matt Sorum or Adler. Like, just, but that's because the Guns N' Roses thing, like, but. yeah, I don't know. One of them, sure. Fuck it. We'll throw Adler up there. Yeah, give him a gig.
Yeah, give him a few, Bob. Anyone else there?
It's hard to see past Slash on lead for me.
Right, okay.
Or Zach Wilde. Shit, it could be Zach Wilde as well, couldn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be something.
Have you checked any of his stuff out lately?
Any of Zach's stuff lately?
Yeah.
No, actually, I haven't, man, no. Shamefully enough.
His playing on a No Rest for the Wicked by Ozzy has to be one of the best examples of rock guitarist.
He's incredible.
What was that last Black Label Society tune? And it was like, there was some fella in a yellow jumpsuit chasing him around the streets. And it was like, it's one of their better ones in the last like 10 years. And I can't remember the name of it.
Recall it myself.
Just the music video for, he's a funny bastard as well. Did you ever see any of his just his social media stuff, he's just there talking absolute bollocks, like, you know.
Yeah, he's a big man, dude.
What? He's a fucking sound.
Yeah, she's busy doing the Pantera thing. Like.
Pantera, yeah, they're in Australia at the minute, yeah. I was watching them. That's some tour at the minute, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, the visuals on that are just incredible.
Yeah, I was talking to a few boys that was at it and said it was fucking unreal over in Melbourne. Said it was class. But I think we'll leave it at that, boys. Go and check out the boys' Instagram page. Check them out on Spotify. It was really nice chatting to you, boys. And we wish you the best of luck on your tour coming up in Whelans and in London. And then you're going back to England, isn't that right?
Yeah, we'll be back in England in June, from the 19th to the 24th.
Yeah.
Be in there. We just haven't. There's 2 dates confirmed, 2 dates that need to be confirmed. So we'll. Yeah, it'll be plastered all over the place once we have it all locked in the business, like, you know. So.
Get talking to the boys up in the spirit store, too. You'll enjoy that gig, man.
Hello.
All right, lads. Man. Good chatting to you. And again, wishes the best of luck for the rest of the year.
Lads.
Well, good luck, lads. Thank you.
Good luck. That's all from us on this week's episode of That Sound Podcast.
Yeah, man, that was a funny one, yeah.
Man, that took a turn that we didn't expect.
Yeah, ghost stories and magic tricks. And yeah, no, it was great crack with the boys. Fair play to them. That was the first time that we had such a large group on at once. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a great laugh. I wish the boys the best. Have some gigs coming up there on Whelans, I've seen. And we'll clip it all their details into our page so you can follow them, check them out. Very good band. And yeah, wish them all the luck.
Again, if you could give us a minute of your time or 30 seconds of your time to help us out on the podcast by liking, sharing, subscribing, rating, anything that you want to do. Yeah,
tell your mate if you're enjoying it. Tell your friend, share the word, get the word out.
Tell your girlfriend that there's two egots talking on the airways.
Tell your dog there's two quail boys up Martin, and tell everyone.
Tell everyone.
Tell Santi.
Yeah.
Write him a letter.
And also tell Santi that this year you want a That Sound Podcast t-shirt.
And a hoodie.
And a hoodie.
Get them in 2 sizes in case one doesn't fit, because we don't take returns. Only messing. See you next week.
Bye-bye.